products available.
While Newt Gingrich takes control in Iowa, Herman Cain bails. He's not running for president anymore. On the Republican side, trying to grab that ticket and go up against President Barack Obama. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. It's the start of another one here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about, including we're going to have a conversation with Saul Album, joining us from Oslo, Norway, to talk about dollars and cents and all the doom and gloom that's hovering over Europe and why you should care. Why do you care what's happening in Europe? Why do you care what's happening to global markets? And how does the dollar stand right now at this point? And for goodness sake, if you have 5 cents to invest, what should you invest in? Where are we headed? Well, one thing to not invest in certainly is Herman Cain, as I said. He calls it quits on Saturday, just makes it official. This was inevitable. We all knew this. This is not a surprise, of course, because of everything that had happened. I think the last shoe to drop we know was the woman, Ginger White, the Atlanta businesswoman who came out and said she had had a 13-year affair with Herman Cain and came up with phone bills and texts and all that other kind of stuff. And then he came out and said, well, he was just giving her money because they were friends. But it doesn't matter. He said, she said, it was too much for Cain, and the train is now off the tracks. He wasn't really running with a lot of money to spare. So with the coffers dry and the numbers plummeting, it made sense. He talked about the fact that his family, he was concerned about his family and the toll that it had taken with all of the media surrounding him was just too much. And it was time that he had to do that. I still believe that Herman Cain will be around in some form. And it really, truly, I wouldn't be surprised if Cain bounced back and ended up becoming a commentator for Fox or CNN, or Fox is the most likely, but it doesn't have to be Fox. It could be anybody else. I don't see that he goes dormant, in other words. And then it becomes a question of who courts Cain supporters. Well, all of the Republicans are going to court the Cain supporters, but who's going to get the Cain supporters? Will Ron Paul get any of that runoff? Will Newt Gingrich get any of that runoff? Rince Priebus, who, of course, is the man behind the Republican Party, had plenty to say over the weekend on Sunday. He was part of that Sunday morning pundit run, I call it, or the Sunday swirl. He talked about Cain's numbers and money and the tough primary, too, and the fact that it's not, nothing's genuine anymore. But first, here's the conversation about the numbers for Cain and the dollars and cents of it.
Certainly his numbers were falling over the last few weeks, and he was having trouble raising money. And I think it's only natural that if your numbers are falling and you can't raise the money to stay in the race, mm-hmm. that you'd get out of the race.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You don't have the money. The numbers aren't there. Whether you really have the passion to do it or not, you're not going to stay in the game. Then the fact that you got this tough primary, it is a tough primary in New Hampshire. That kicks things off. We're going to be broadcasting live from there. And then you look at the fact of what's happening down the road, and you can't be a clairvoyant, but looking ahead and trying to figure out what direction you're going in. Here he is.
Look at all these Republican governors across the Midwest. Every one of them came through a very difficult primary. And guess what? They went into blue states and they won. People in this country don't think that this president's real anymore. He's not genuine anymore.
Yeah, that authenticity, that was the big thing that people talked about with Cain. And as Priebus is saying there, a lot of people don't feel that with Barack Obama. Will that make a difference? Could be. Will the unemployment number that dipped down slightly, will that make a difference? Could be, because nobody's been elected as president with a number, unemployment number of over 8%. You have to go all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So will he break that statistic? I'm not so sure. And will the numbers be lower? Of course, that's what the people around Barack Obama are hoping, that economically things will look a lot rosier. Tomas in Michigan is our leadoff man. Hello, Tomas.
Kate,
You're going to have a debate this Wednesday, right?
Yes, I am aware of it, yes.
And guess who is not allowed to go to the debate?
Who is not allowed to go to the debate?
Mr. Ron Paul. The Republican Jewish Coalition has decided that they will not allow Ron Paul to take part in the debate. Isn't that interesting?
It is, but I didn't know that that was a controversy. Has that been, are a lot of people talking about that now all of a sudden? Was he really, he was going to go to that debate? Because I thought he opted out of it. I didn't know that he was booted out of it.
Well, I mean, I don't...
You know what I mean? Because there's so many debates that still accept certain ones. And that was the whole thing. Remember, Rick Perry kind of got egg on his face because he just said he wasn't going to go to any of them. Now he's showing up at all of them. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he wasn't initially part of that. I thought he was asked to be part of it, and he decided not to go to it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I went to their site. They even have Herman Cain still on there. Okay, so
yeah.
I find it very, very sad that he's not going to take part in that debate either way. I think that, he has a plan for Israel that would free Israel, not just from the American aid tick, but it would free them up to do whatever they needed to do and not be held back by any, American aid leash. And I think if they were in that situation, the Muslims would have to respect them because they'd know that they couldn't play nice with the Muslims anymore. What do you think
If they came out swinging, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
What about a Ron Paul Rubio ticket?
But Rubio says I know they all say that, but he says he absolutely has no desire. But, that would be kind of intriguing because Rubio has a lot of fans. Certainly Florida's a huge state, and I think you'd nail Florida. Yeah.
They would get Florida, and then they might even get New York.
Yeah, I think so.
And, of course, we were talking about Bloomberg. Did you hear anything else about Bloomberg?
No, because that always bubbles up, and there was nothing over the weekend about that. There was nothing heading into that. But this week we're going to talk about the possibilities, and we're going to talk about the whole whispers about the third-party idea, too, even around Ron Paul, because there's still a push for that. Go libertarian, see what happens. I wouldn't be shocked if we eventually see that, but will we see it this time around? And, it's interesting you bring up Ron Paul because you really like Ron Paul, I know, Tomas. And in the last, numbers that last came out of Iowa, Ron Paul and Mitt Romney were behind Newt Gingrich, but Ron Paul had 18%. That's one of the things, everything was focused on Gingrich, but Gingrich had 25% of the likely Republican caucus goers in Iowa. This is this poll that was done by the Des Moines Register, the newspaper there. And Ron Paul was actually second. So how interesting is that? And, of course, Tomas mentions that there is that debate with the Jewish leaders, and that's going to be hosted in Des Moines. So that's a big week in Iowa. And the question is whether Gingrich is going to pick up some of Cain's conservative support or not. The people around him feel like he has a chance to really knock one out of the park and grab up an even bigger slice of the pie. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The Kane deal, but it was something that was expected. It's not a shock that Kane decided that he wasn't going to run anymore because he had run out of steam no matter what. You can point to other things besides whether or not he had a 13-year affair with a woman in Atlanta. There were other problems that were plaguing his campaign, including some of the questions that he was asked, like the Libyan question. He's still had to get over the bumps and the grinds of that. I think from the very start, Kane was interesting because he seemed so authentic, and it was interesting to hear him speak. Even Saturday when he was laying down that he was done, he did handle that part pretty well. But I think the people around him and the way the campaign got off was always a little bit suspect, because once he got into trouble, he couldn't turn it around very well. It was tough for him to turn it around, and he wasn't used to that. He wasn't used to being subjected to the constant pounding of the media that was infatuated with him, that was interested in him, that whether they were trying to sink his battleship or just find out more about him, it doesn't matter. It was like a pack of jackals, and no way was he going to ever get the breathing room once everything had come out from, or what was thrown out there anyway, from the National Restaurant Association when he was the president. There was no way he was going to overcome that. What's interesting is, and this is smart, because now everybody who's left in this field would like to pick up people who were interested in Ron Paul's, were interested in Herman Cain. So everybody in the Republican field was very careful how they addressed the Cain situation when they were asked about it, giving him pretty high praise to, and plus, because remember, his endorsement could maybe carry some weight. They were pretty complimentary of Herman Cain, like Michelle Bachmann talking about the fact that he added some life into the field and how, you know, some of the interesting points of view that he provided, and it was an important voice to the process, his ideas and energy and the enthusiasm, which he said he brought enthusiasm for the conservative movement at a time that it was needed to restore confidence in the country. And Ron Paul said Herman Cain also, same thing, brought this enthusiasm to the nominating process and a unique perspective on domestic issues important to voters, like tax code reform and a pro-growth agenda that would be more favorable to the private sector. So everyone up and down the line, of course, they weren't going to attack Herman Cain, because they would certainly like his endorsement. It would make no sense to stomp on him anyway. Who ultimately gets that? Is it Gingrich? Is it somebody else? You know, is it Ron Paul? I mean, what happens to Ron Paul? Because like it or not, for the people who think he's too extreme, he is a factor. And it's starting to show up. He's starting to show up, certainly in a lot of the straw polls he was. He won a bunch of them. And you can say, well, that's just a small amount of people, and he has loyal followers and all that other stuff. But I want to see how Ron Paul shows up in New Hampshire in some of these primaries where he's not being talked about necessarily. So it's interesting. Tomas talks about the fact that Ron Paul is not going to be part of this debate on Jewish issues in Washington this week. Now, there is a newspaper, the New York Sun, that says it's because of his extreme views on Israel and the Middle East. And the people sponsoring the debate, the Republican Jewish Coalition, did say, somebody from that group did say that he has misguided and extreme views. And so that was always called into question. And then there was somebody else who wrote that he didn't want to go there in the first place. I mean, so regardless, he's not going to be part of that. He's not going to be part of the next debate. So, and how much weight does that organization carry? How much weight does the Jewish community carry? You know, you break down the demographics of the voters, and you can break it down into more than just male, female, certain ages, you know, new voters, young voters, middle of the pack voters, conservatives, Republicans, liberals, Democrats, independents, the undecided, because I think there's another factor there, the undecided. To me, it's the swing states and it's the independent vote that will show up so big in this election year that's coming up. I think that is the key thing. And will we see a third party run? You know, there's people that want John Huntsman to make a third party run at this, because he's certainly not going to get the Republican nomination. In fact, Christine Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey, is trying to really persuade Huntsman to run as an independent. She says, I would support it and I would help him. I would do anything that I could. And Whitman's pushing for an effort to draft a third-party presidential candidate through this group called Americans Elect. They're committed to getting a candidate on the ballot in all 50 states. How interesting is that? And she says he's a natural because he doesn't appear likely to overcome any of the front runners, and that's obvious. The two front runners right now are Gingrich and Mitt Romney. And as I said before, with Ron Paul, I'll be curious to see how he shows up, because he's picked up, at least in what I would call the mainstream polls, he's picked up a little momentum. He's in the double digits. In fact, in some cases, he's in front of Mitt Romney. So what does that say? Does that mean more people are embracing him besides loyal followers? I think these upcoming caucuses and primaries are huge, But I like this idea of the third party because, as you know, I've always pushed for that. That's what I think the way to break the logjam is to come up with a third party, come up with new ways, you know, come up with a second, you know, how they do the record vote, come up with a record vote maybe even where the second person, the person who comes in second, that comes into high play where we haven't had that in the past. The group already is qualified for the ballot in 11 states, by the way. It's worth throwing this out there since you're listening to us all over the country. Alaska and Arizona and Arkansas, Colorado's in this mix, Florida, Kansas, Michigan, Mississippi, Nevada, Ohio, and Utah. And we'll see. They're hoping to push for that credibility. I mean, just hammer this home, try to get somebody on the ballot, really try to push that, hit that home that you're taking on. She says, Christine Whitman says it's difficult in some cases, which was my take all along on the idea of the third party right now, is it's a different kind of process. So for people in office, you know, you're basically, you're asking them to dump the party that they've been, that they're pushing on, that they've been on, and to go in a completely different direction. But I think it would make the race a little more wide open. Some people think that it would completely, depending who was the third party person, would completely sink the Republicans' chances of beating Barack Obama. I don't know. I think we're ready for a third party America. I think we're ready for some fresh debate. I think we're ready to be serious about the possibility of the third party. And I know in my lifetime, we might not, I think in my lifetime, we might not ever see, and I hope I'm wrong, black again when it comes to our money woes, because we're so deep into the red, not completely erase all of that deficit. But I think we'll see a third party. I believe there's going to be a third party. If not this time around, we're going to see a push for that in the next coming election cycle, I think. And the stronger people that get behind the idea of the third party, the more that it'll become a reality. Our reality next includes a trip to Oslo, Norway, to check in with our financial man, Saul Albom. Hang with us.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Life
Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Why don't you Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Get past the beat, get past the hip, man.
It's always fun when we welcome our financial man, Saul Album, in from Oslo, Norway. It's probably pretty cold there right now. Hey, Saul, how are you?
Just cold enough to get a little sick, but setting the example, just like you, Kate, we're going to show up in all weathers, and you know, anything we can do for the listeners. And one of the things I learned, even if you're a little under weather, you still do your best for your customers. And so so we're here, and we're ready to make fun of all the stupidity out there in finance. And I wait to hear the phone calls back.
I love that. Thank you for playing. If you're in that weekend, you're playing hurt. We love that. You're like an NFL warrior, only you're in the money game.
That's right. And I'll stomp on any arms that are in the wrong direction.
All right, so the tail end of the week, earlier in the week, Wall Street went flying up. Just huge numbers on Wall Street. Dow was almost at 500, and everybody started throwing confetti around the various offices, and the day traders went crazy. And then the next day, it dipped down a little bit, but it was still up. And all of this has to do with helping out Europe, the U.S., being part of busting it open on the global economy, so to speak. Explain why this is kind of, I think, and maybe you don't, is false. I mean, it's like a bottom, a fake bottom. It's going to eventually drop out.
Sure. Okay. So it's like, you remember when you fell when you're a little girl or the listeners out there, and you scraped your knee and you had a boo-boo and mommy came and kissed it and made it all better for you? Okay. Well, we have the same illusion here. Now we're grown-ups, now we're 50-year-old finance executives, now we're bank guys, and when we fall, we expect the IMF, we expect the governments, we expect everyone to come pick us up, kiss us on the knee, and say everything's going to be okay. That is the collective illusion. The problem is, we've been doing that for so much is that there's so many people with broken legs and broken knees because they thought everyone will take care of them. You know, I'm saying this and it, as banks and companies just taking on too much risk, that there's not enough kisses to go around. There's not enough mommies to pick up all the babies and kiss them. So how does that translate into finance? There's not enough money to pay for all the screw-ups and all the leverages and all the bad investments that people have been making. So what we've been doing is we've still been conditioned to think that mommy's going to come and save the day and pick us up. Mommy's going to be there. Well, guess what? There's just not enough kisses to go around. And the stock market still believes that the central states, the IMF, the troikas, the European TARPs and all these together, all these fancy words that I even have trouble keeping track of, that they're going to come around and print all this money and take care of everything and everything's going to be okay. That we live in a real world here. We're adults. Things are not going to be that okay. It's not the end of the world. There's a lot of opportunity we're going to be talking about in the coming months here on the show. However, things are going to get real bad in Europe. I heard one hedge fund manager put it best. I'm going to say this too. I didn't say this. So, which is, Kate, the bill is due. The bill is due today in Europe. Tomorrow it's Japan, and the day after it's the U.S. And the stock market is rallying up because they know there's going to be some inflation, and inflation is good for stock prices. And we can go over that if you need to. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, it's interesting. So why is that good for the stock market? Why is inflation good for the stock market?
Sure, you know, and that's a great question. Simply because the stock market represents a relative value, meaning that or relative profits. So if you own a stock, and let's say you own Coca-Cola, and they're selling their products for you buy a Coke in the store. I don't know what it was when your listeners were little kids. Say 1 cent, 2 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents. In the 60s, it was 10 cents. We've been watching a lot of Mad Men lately.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And we've gone through a couple Mad Men marathons here. And a bottle of Coca-Cola in Mad Men in 1960 was 10 cents. Okay, how much is a Coke bottle today? A dollar?
$1.50 in some cases.
$1.50. So that means a 15 times inflation over 40 years for the same product. That means if you own a Coke stock and you're still selling the same amount, your stock is going to be worth 15 amount just because you're simply selling the same product for 15 times the amount. Does
sure.
that make sense to your listeners?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if your costs are flat, if you're not selling for 10 cents anymore, you're selling for 10.50, excuse me, if your costs go up at the same rate, that's fine. The problem is with inflation, it's not uniform. And this is why we've talked about on the show, it's not like a big, it's a big uniform inflation. Okay, only in the minds of ivory tower economists do inflation go up, you know, everybody all at once, 4%, 5%, 6% a year. You know, it goes into healthcare. That's why healthcare is up 20%. That's why education's up 20%. You know, we have all these new technologies and costs keep going up. It's because inflation is getting dumped into it. But that's why. It's same as you watch Mad Men. You see that Coke sold for for 10 cents. Now it's selling for $1.50, $2 a bottle, probably for a lower quality product, too. And there's no cocaine in it anymore. And that's a bad joke. Just kidding. So that's why. So the stock market loves inflation. Bond market hates it. And we could talk about it. And also what's going on is very interesting is the hedge fund managers, even the Keynesians are starting to wake up. Let me give you a tangible example of this. Sweden, two small countries, Sweden and Finland, both their rates were dropping for their bond yields, meaning that people were saying, hey, it's a cool place. I'm scared about all this. I'm scared about all these banks collapsing in the U.S. and excuse me, in Europe. And we can go over that, too. So we're going to start buying up government debt from Sweden, a nice, respectable country. You don't hear about Sweden going to war and running up huge budget deficits. Same as Finland, responsible country. All of a sudden, Finland's bonds start spiking, quadruple yield, meaning they go from 1% to 3.5% overnight, over like 3 weeks. Okay, why? It's because they can't print their own money. The same as Great Britain. Great Britain is in the same position as as Iceland, and we all remember what happened to Iceland. Their whole country went bankrupt, and their kroner went from equivalent of one to like you know 0.5. I mean, literally just crashed the entire country. Great Britain has a terrible budget deficit, terrible current account deficits. We fight with China about them importing too much into us. Well, they're just they're 10 times worse than we are. But their bonds are about the same as ours, like 2%. And people are saying, oh, well, you know, we're not having a funding crisis. Everything's okay. You know, England's at 2%. U.S. is at 2% bonds. You know, everybody wants to own our bonds. No, it's like winning the – you ever see Revenge of the Nerds? You know, they have
yes.
the ugly sorority. Say, Kate, everybody was in the pretty sorority, okay? You know, I was in the nerd fraternity. We went out with the nerd sorority. And it's like winning the beauty contest in the nerd sorority, okay? England and Japan and all these guys, these guys are in huge trouble. The banks are going to collapse because they own this stuff. 25 of the top top 30 banks – in Europe, literally, if there's any kind of major cut, they're all bankrupt. This is where the rubber hits the road, and this is where your listeners have the opportunity to come in after they get nationalized and come in. So that's where I would be positioning cash, gold, land, income, oil. You know, you got to be careful on oil and gas wells because there's so much fraud in there. We can talk about that some other show also. But, you know, it's oil and gas, apartment complexes, real estate. It's going to be – you want return of capital right now, not necessarily return on investments. Some stock market investments are fine, some good companies, Google, Apple, Exxon, nice companies. But that's the real position where we're at now. The reserve requirement in the U.S. is 10%. Do you know what it is? When I say reserve requirement, that means you go into a bank, you deposit money, there's 10% they have to reserve that they have to keep. They can't loan out. It's for safety. You know
right.
what it is in Europe?
What is it?
1.5%.
Oh, 1.5%.
1.5%. I'm not making it up. And then they take that money and they invest it in Italy, Greece, and everything else like that. I mean, I'm talking full insolvency of the banking sector. Not only that, but the banking sector is three times the size of the U.S. in comparison to the gross domestic product, just like Iceland. So Iceland went over because it's huge banks, only 300,000 people. It'd be like California with the banking system of the entire U.S., all in California, and then saying, oh, well, you know, California can't back up the whole U.S. Well, of course it can't. So there you go. That's why there's such a flight. There's money going all over to Japan, to England, and to the U.S. because we can print. That's
right,
why.
And they can't.
They can't print. There's
right.
the answer. That's why England's doing okay. Now England is in horrible shape. So go ahead, Kate. Now we talked.
No, it's interesting you say about England because I was going to ask you about that. The Bank of England, the governor, Sir Mervyn King, is telling the banks to get ready for the collapse, the Eurozone collapse, saying that's inevitable. Because you've got, as you mentioned, Greece, Portugal, Italy, Spain, Ireland, they owe the UK banks about £200 billion.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And they owe themselves money. It's just a big – let me give you an example, Kate. In 2002, the total debt in the world – okay, the total debt as far as like, you know, paper was $110 trillion. You know what it is today? $210 trillion. It's literally gone up in 10 years. No, 9 years, $100 trillion in debt.
Oh, that's crazy. So it's unsustainable. Yeah.
Japan owes 200%. We talked about Japan a year and a half
ago.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is great information. Saul, hang with us. We're going to finish on the flip side. I'm going to ask you about China. And what if China crashes? Because there's been some economists who are predicting some doom and gloom there, and that you should worry about that. Will it lead to more money printing? You just mentioned the countries that can print money. Hang with us, everybody. We're talking to Saul Albaum, financial guru on America Tonight.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's S-E-A-L-A-N-E.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever wanted to give a gift that expresses faith in liberty, those powerful beliefs that shaped our nation at its founding? If so, pay close attention, because this may be the most important holiday message you'll hear this year. Beautiful Liberty Blankets are now available. The Liberty Blanket is made right here in the USA out of all-natural cotton. It's ultra-soft, ultra-warm, and designed to remind your friends and loved ones of the enduring values that won the battle for freedom in early America. The center of the Liberty Blanket has the words, "Appeal to God," a phrase that Washington and the founders used often as they announced to the world that their rights and liberties came from a sovereign creator. And in each corner of the Liberty Blanket details one of the pillars of American freedom: education, church, civil government, and justice. Regularly $59.95, now just $39.95. It's the perfect Christmas gift that helps your friends and family remember our nation's most precious legacy. To order your Liberty Blanket, go to libertyblanket.com. That's libertyblanket.com, or call 800-209-1258. That's 800-209-1258.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Yeah, we all feel like we've been kicked in the head. Or victims of sleight of hand based on what's happening with the global economy and how it's affecting us, and everybody just trying to figure out what they can do to protect their family and get through the process. Before we stepped away, and we're continuing our conversation with financial guru Saul Albaum here on America Tonight, and he joins us from Oslo, Norway. How cool is that? But I was going to ask him about the fact that I've read a lot about China crashing and that people aren't focusing on China, but with the European situation being so hopeless and so much doom and gloom there, and it's going to eventually lead to money printing like Saul was talking about in certain countries that can do it. What about China? What happens if China collapses? There's the $10 trillion question. What about China, Saul?
Sure. And I can, there's famous, a famous answer your question with a question, and that is, does socialism work?
Yeah.
Does central planning work? Do bridges to nowhere work? And the broken window fallacy is that if I shatter 1,000 windows and we build 1,000 windows, did that really make anyone more wealthy? Is that really gross domestic product? So right now, China is building bridges, not only bridges to nowhere, but they're building entire cities, Kate, I'm sure your listeners have seen, I mean, literally gigantic cities to nowhere. And people have been, their population have been buying apartment complex and savings because they don't trust the central state. They're buying apartments as literally their savings vehicles. So as people buy bonds or treasury or savings bonds here or stocks, you know, there's not really a domestic market for that in China. So they're buying real estate. And the problem is they're buying real estate in ghost cities, literally ghost cities. I encourage your listeners when they get home safely, just go to YouTube and Google Chinese ghost cities. There are huge amount of capital losses. And when the people find out about it, they're going to be up in arms. Now, how does this work? What happens is in the Chinese communities, they have control over the banks. If General so-and-so says to the bank executive, you need to loan to this project, you know, what is the bank executive going to do? He's going to make the loan. You know, with the economics.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like President Obama going to the Bank of America president and saying, you know, you're going to loan to Solyndra and you're going to loan to 100 other things because they create green. Oh, whoops. Whoops. But it's a force. OK, it's not of will. And these things are not performing. I read a book about 10 years ago called The Coming Collapse of China. And I think this guy's right, but the timing is wrong. OK, obviously 10 years ago he was wrong, but it's coming.
And part of that is, okay, so if you look at China, and I've been trying to do a little bit of research on this, and everything that you just said is right on target, but if you look at China and the acceleration of the decline, let's say, and the output, declining asset values in China, which you're mentioning, so for the first time, China's factory sector actually shrank in November, and that's for the first time in nearly 3 years. Something's going to happen here. And what does it mean to the U.S. dollar?
Sure. What does it mean to the U.S. dollar? Well, right now the Chinese currency, the renminbi, is pegged to our dollar, and it's slowly going up. Now, China is actually in such bad shape that it may start actually running a budget, a trade deficit, just like us. Okay, so that's when in bad trouble. So if they start revaluing, that means that what people buy at Walmart, Kmart, and our manufacturing will start going up. And what we've effectively done is inflation to China. Now, what does that mean? That's a little technical. What the heck does that mean? That means is that we buy so much cheap crud from China. You go to Walmart, everything's made in China over there, or East Coast Target also. All of our cheap stuff, manufacturing, is made over there. Okay. But if things start going up in prices, which they've been doing, they're showing 8, 9, 10% official inflation rates. Costs are going to start going up there. Eventually, there's going to be a snapback, and we're going to have to start paying more expensive things here in the U.S. too. That's what it means.
So that means no kidding.
That means things are finally starting to be more expensive. You're not going to be able to fill up your shopping cart for $150 at Walmart anymore. It's going to be $200, $210, $215, things like that. That's what it means for your listeners.
Yeah, no kidding. How about oil? You know, we see now gas prices in the U.S. anyway, of course, have gone down in the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 18 cents, something like that. But now there's talk that with what's happening in Iran with the sanctions, that Iran is saying, hey, really? Well, screw you people. You're not going to get any oil, of course. And then by having this, by blocking our oil, then what's going to happen is it's going to go up to 250 a barrel. My goodness. If it went up to even 140 a barrel, what would we be paying for gas?
Well, let me tell you some good news and some bad news. The bad news is we're in peak oil. Okay, which means it's very difficult to find large new reserves. And I think we've all been hearing that theme. And peak oil just basically means that it's just harder to replace the oil that we already have. It's just more expensive. The good news is at about $100 to $140 a barrel, the Orinoco fields and the Canadian tar sands start to be profitable. Now, what is that? Literally, 4/5 of all the oil in the world is in tar sands is just difficult to get out. It's like molasses. All right, but with electrolysis and electricity and technology and chemicals, we can turn that into oil. Problem is, again, it's about $100 to $140 a barrel to do that. So there's actually kind of a ceiling. So it's actually those things take about 2 years to get online, 3 to 4 years. So we'll have some short-term pain on that. But I don't see over a long run $250 a barrel for oil, because most of it's locked up in that expensive stuff. I'll tell you who that will really kill will be Japan. And, you know, Kate, I was doing some research on Japan. You know, you ever seen a company where they get a CFO in and then they leave and then a CFO in and then they leave?
Yes.
You know, or CEO. You know, that usually that means there's something smelly going on in the company.
Right.
Well, over the last 5 years, Japan has had 9 finance ministers.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. Yeah, so this is really going to affect Japan because they don't have resources. They don't have as much intellectual property. They import things and then fix it up and then sell it. So Japan is also, speaking of China, Japan, Europe is really going to have some trouble. Demographic issues, debt issues, 200% of GDP. We should have had a little cake party. Maybe you should do something. We just hit 100% of GDP on balance sheet for the U.S., he had Enron. Enron had debt, right? What took Enron down was their off-balance sheet, problems. So here in the U.S., we just hit 100% gross domestic product debt on balance sheet. So we could have a little applaud there for us. the reason why I wanted to talk about Japan again is that demographics is destiny, and Japan's population peaked at 127 million 3 years ago. Now they've lost 3 million population and they're down to 124 million. Now, this is why it's relevant. Do you remember Bernie Madoff?
Yes.
Do you remember Medicare Part A, Part B? The reason why, how did Bernie Madoff get caught was that more people started exiting than coming in. It wasn't that his returns weren't there.
Right.
They started pulling out. Well, Japan is now starting to enter that terminal decline, and the debt will start collapsing. They are spending right now 60% of their budget just to pay the interest on their debt alone, just to pay the interest on their debt. And by the way, we're approaching 10%. Okay, so that's going to be the next shoe to drop. That's due in another year or so. 6 months to a year, Japan, the collapse of Japan, and we're due the year after. But again, stay tuned. Cash, gold, guns, and local restaurants.
there you go. Excellent talking with you, Saul. You gave out some great information to all the listeners, and what a trooper you are to play along with a Saul album. Thank you so much from Oslo, Norway. Say hello to the wife, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.